You know, it's been about 7 years since my family and I came to the United States. Personally, I've traveled to many countries on different mission trips. Some of the countries were a place I would have liked to stay for a long time, not just for a trip, but as a home. This country, the United States, was one of them. At the time, I vaguely expected that I could end up living here in the United States someday. And many years later and later, on September 29th, 2015, I arrived at San Francisco Airport, not alone, but with my wife and two children. The life that I had vaguely expected had really, really become a reality. However, it didn't take long for me to realize that actually living in the United States would be very different from what I expected. I quickly went from eager anticipation and confidence to fear, frustration, and stress. Some of you know that things didn't work out well at the Korean church we were at in Delhi City. Finances have always been tight. Our immigration status has not always been clear. Like you, we've struggled through all of the challenges of a pandemic. Life in the United States has often felt like a barren wilderness. But like a spring of water or bread from the sky, God has met us in this wilderness. We have experienced God's guidance and help over and over these last 7 years. My family and I have learned to rely on God more than ever. I believe this wilderness is a place of God's blessing, a place for God to mature and grow our faith. I'm convinced that my relationship with God is closer than at any point in my life. Eugene and I recently thanked God for guiding our family, and we were reminded that we still have to depend on God if we are going to really leave. Here, Soeun, a young lady from Korea, she's staying with our family for a while before going to LA, where she will go to school as an exchange student. When we met her at the airport, I said to her, "Welcome to the wilderness." So, yeah, life here might be like a wilderness, absolutely. But I told her not to be afraid. You will have the opportunity to meet God more closely and intimately. This morning, I want to talk about the Israelites' time in the wilderness, a place for them to meet with God so that they could know Him more closely and intimately, an opportunity they missed. As I think about what my family and I have needed in our wilderness, I've noticed that we have something in common with the Israelites. God liberated the Israelites from slavery, leading them out of Egypt and into barren wilderness. The Israelites needed God's presence to go with them. My family has needed God's presence with us. We serve a God who promises to be with us and to dwell with us? This is the question I want to explore this morning. What does it mean for God to dwell with his people? Exodus 40, we read this morning, is talking about the story of the setting of the tabernacle, the tent of a meeting, as God commanded it through Moses, and the fullness of glory of God. In this story, we found two words, the tabernacle and the tent of a meeting, are used interchangeably. Why were these words used alternately? In Hebrew 2, two other words are used. Mishkan, meaning dwelling place, and Ohel Moed, meaning the meeting place. The tabernacle was God's dwelling place with Israel. And after Moses prayed for 40 days on the mountain Sinai, he received the law from God and was made according to the standards and contents that God himself instructed. However, before the tabernacle was built, according to the standards God had commanded, the Israelites worshipped the golden calf. So Moses temporarily built a tent of meeting outside the camp of Israel. And there Moses met God, and the Israelites met God. After all, the place where God is present in the tabernacle, and literally meeting place, is the tent of meeting, which later developed to refer to the same place. We can hear the story of the tabernacle in more detail through Leviticus. Pastor Curtis will take us there maybe next week. The life that God required of the Israelites in the wilderness was the tabernacle-centered life. This is because Israelites had to live a life in which they had to meet God and rely on God only at there. Because the tabernacle was the only way for them to live in the wilderness. And that was the only way to know who God is. The tabernacle-centered life should be a life where you can have an intimate relationship with God at any time. And this life is worship-centered life. Life should become worship. For us, the tabernacle, the tent, doesn't just mean a physical place. There must be a place to meet God in every moment in our lives, and in our hearts, and in our thoughts. In that sense, our worship service is important. Small group meetings are important. And personal spiritual formation, such as prayer time, meditation time, reading Bible, and fasting, is also important. God wants us to meet at this place. The purpose of establishing the tabernacle was so that human beings who had been separated from God because of sin could voluntarily seek God. God himself slaughtered a sheep, clothed Adam and Eve with their blood-stained skins, and came to mankind first and reconciled. That was God's way of love from the creation of the world. The purpose of God's creation of the tabernacle is to set up the worship system through this, and to fellowship and have a relationship with the people of Israel through the burnt offerings. The tabernacle is a place where God has descended, and it is the place where the desired plan of redemption is expressed. It was built because he wanted to live with the people forever. That is why it's called the tent of meeting. In the sense that the tabernacle in the First Testament is device that connects God and the people of Israel and brings God's presence, we can see that Jesus Christ is the completion of the tabernacle in the New Testament. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Greek word skeno, used for dwelt in this verse, is a verb derived from a word meaning tent. This word means to pitch a tent or dwell in a tent or encamp. Therefore, a better translation of this verse would be, the word became flesh and pitched a tent to dwell among us. Therefore, Jesus Christ came to this earth to dwell with us, just like the tabernacle in the First Testament. However, there is a difference between Jesus Christ and the tabernacle. While the tabernacle represents God's presence, there was difficult for sinners to approach God. But Jesus Christ, the new tabernacle, became the friend of sinners. With his death on the cross, God tore the veil in the Holy of Holies, opening the way for sinners to God. It is because of the work of the new tabernacle, Jesus Christ, that we can boldly approach the throne of God's grace. It should be remembered that the tabernacle has two sides, like two sides of a coin. The tabernacle was a place where we could meet God, but it was not a place that anyone could access or anyhow. Although the tabernacle is a place of meeting with God, it shows that God is an approachable God and an unapproachable God. That is why Paul went one step further from the message of the Gospel of John, that Jesus Christ is the new tabernacle. And he developed the concept that those who followed Jesus Christ were templed where God dwells. The reason why Paul used this concept was to warn Christians against still sinning after being saved. God wants to be with us, and he wants us to remain holy before God, before him. That is the life of holiness, the tabernacle-centered life. We can see in Exodus 40, the process of setting up the tabernacle, of the tent of meeting. Moses did everything God commanded him. He anointed oil on all equipment in it, because the tabernacle and all its equipment in it had to be holy. When you talk about the presence of God, God is everywhere. God is here, God is everywhere. And God is not limited to physical places. God exists beyond time, space, and place. God is omnipresent. It's just theological word, omnipresent. When considering what it means for God to dwell among us, we can think of two aspects. First, the presence of God is the sovereignty and will of God. He comes first among us by his will to be with us. And second, we must be able to call upon God's presence. In other words, we must be able to experience the presence of God. This is why we must be holy before God. God is everywhere. But at least you can experience, you cannot experience God's presence in bar or gambling houses. You can never meet God through the golden calf. My way cannot be more perfect than God's way. The world is constantly trying to deceive us by lies. Above all, the world deceives us into being content with ourselves without God. The world continues to tempt us with the golden calf. The lie that my thoughts, my ways, my decisions are more valuable than God's. The lie tempts us to make our idols for ourselves. The presence of God depends on God's sovereignty and our holiness life. I think we should learn one important lesson from the last verses of Exodus 40. Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night. In the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. This great and marvelous sight has been on the Israelites' journey in the wilderness for 40 years without missing a single day. Can you imagine, you guys? Every day, without missing a single day. Incredible. I've always have some questions about this story. Was this incredible scene only seen by the Israelites? And how big was the cloud and the fire? It must have been, large enough. And conspicuously high enough to be seen by all Israelites at the same time. I'm sure people around Israel could have seen this amazing scene together. Rumors would have spread to neighboring countries, and it's amazing that they even ate the manna from the sky in the middle of the wilderness every day, without skipping, except Sabbath day. It is unlikely that neighboring countries also did not know about this. Wherever Israelites moved, people around them, the country around them, would have witnessed them. Israel's daily life itself revealed the glory and presence of Lord. I believe our lives should be like that. Jesus Christ himself came to this earth to be with us. The God who pitched a tent on this earth and dwells among us. Through our holy life, the tabernacle center of the life, we must reveal God's presence to the world. So let the world can clearly see Jesus Christ, the presence of God through us, the church. Just as God guided Israel with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, the Holy Spirit will guide us as well. Do you believe that? This belief has made it possible for me and my family to endure the wilderness. I want to invite you on this journey of faith.